Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, talking about the disciples now that's been beat, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Sounds like they're singing Brother Dan's song here in prayer. Who, and verse 25 says, who by thy mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Notice that. Lord, beholding their threatenings, grant unto thy servants, to us, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Look at that. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. You know, this ain't mine. This is ours. This is what we have. But they had all things common. Listen to verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Look at that verse again. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Okay, and we'll talk about the power of the resurrection, how important this is to every one of us. That we understand who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ. Folks, we're not serving a dead God. We used to sing that song all the time. God's not dead. He's still alive. I feel him in my hands, my feet. I feel him all over me. He's still alive, folks. He's still here. He's still able to do more than you can even begin to imagine that he's able to do in this hour that we're living in. Our world is reeling and rocking under sin, under the weight and the pressure and the curse of sin. And we are the only ones that have the cure and the antidote for what ails them. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe it with everything within us, or we'll convince nobody that we have what they're looking for. If they're lost, Brother Tyler, then you and I as believers, we have what they're searching for. They're drinking to the bottom of the barrel and the bottom of the bottle, trying to find what they're looking for. They're taking every drug till the pill bottle's empty, trying to find help, trying to find encouragement, trying to find a good time, doing crazy stuff, going crazy places, having terrible relationships, looking for something to satisfy, and only Jesus will satisfy their soul. And if we're not convinced of that ourselves, we will not convince them. We will not convince them. The disciples, these are the people that were hiding before the resurrection, before Jesus had rose. These are the ones that were hiding even after the resurrection. They still lived in fear until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the same crowd that was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These are the ones that were able to witness that. They were able to tell what God had done on that day and how each one spoke in different languages, and they were able to minister to all the different nationalities and all the different people of language that were there. The language barrier was destroyed on the day of Pentecost with the believers that came out of the upper room filled with the Holy Ghost and empowered by God. And here we're talking about the power of the resurrection and what it has done for each of us. Now we see them after being beaten, after testifying of what the Lord had done in their lives. They were beaten, they were threatened, and told, don't preach it anymore or we'll do worse to you than what we've done this time. They came together with their believers, their other friends, just like we get together. They were probably kind of being a little quiet, you know, found a place to meet. They shared with each other. This is what's happened. This is what's went on. Here, John and Peter are. They're beaten, they're bruised, they're whipped. They're looking pretty rough over how they'd been treated. And yet, as they begin to share, they were excited being found worthy to suffer for Christ. Can you imagine? We don't do that. We get together and we say, I can't believe somebody treated me that way. I can't believe they acted that way. They didn't let me sing. They told me to get out. They told me to quit talking. The boss at work told me this, or somebody at church said that. We all pull up and we bottle up and we get worried. We get hurt. We get the pooch mouth. We get all bent out of shape because somebody's mistreated us. Well, we've not yet suffered under blood. They ain't beat you yet, Brother Tyler. Sister Ruby, they ain't whipped you till you're not able to see and your eyes swelled shut yet. That day hasn't happened yet. Thank God. I appreciate it. I'd just soon not get whipped. But I sure don't want to set on what God has done for me. I want to be able to witness and give great power to the witness of what Jesus has done in my life. Amen. But I got to have it active in me, or I don't want to share it. Amen. Life begets life. If I've not got that life active in me, I'm not going to tell anybody about what Jesus has done for me. If you're afraid to witness, you need to get back in the altar. It's not a rebuke. That's a statement of fact. If you're afraid of witnessing, get back in the altar and pray. Here's where they're at. They've done that very thing. They talked about what had happened. They've been threatened. I can assure you there were some there that said, man, what are we going to do? Should we hide? Should we go somewhere else? Should we start a church way out in the outside of town somewhere where it's safer on private property? What do we need to do? They prayed. As they prayed and sought God, first of all, they've given him praise. They were honoring him for being the creator and the one. They were giving him acknowledgement of who he was and what he'd done for every one of them. And in doing so, as they prayed, then they asked the right question. Oh God, their prayer was, please fill us, give us boldness, give us strength, give us what we need, Lord, to handle the problems of this hour. I can assure you, regardless of how bad it is here or around the world, God's got grace that is sufficient for this hour, for this generation, for the mob outside of these doors that hate us. We are able to be witnesses effectively for Jesus Christ if we desire to be. If we desire to be, we've got to want it. If all you're interested in is coming and sitting on your pew and going through a couple hours, of us singing a little bit and me harping on something, then that's where you'll be, sitting there bored to death, wishing you somewhere else. But if you'd commit yourself to Christ and come into these services here, every service is an opportunity to go to higher heights and deeper depths to get what you need from God. But you've got to want something like you've never wanted it before. Otherwise, you're just going to be religiously dead and you'll be lost when Jesus comes. He's not coming after a lukewarm church. That's all you can be. If you can sit on your pew and go through the motion service after service and you're unmoved, don't blame it on the preacher. I know what we're preaching. I may not be the best preacher in the world. We may not be the most extravagant. Brother Mick's awesome. But I want to tell you, it ain't about how eloquent we are. It's the word of God that changes things. And the word is preached here enough to change the world if we'll let him do it in our lives. We have no excuse for not moving up. We have no excuse for not being challenged. We have no excuse for not having this building filled up with people that are hungry and looking. They may not want to come, Brother James, but keep knocking on the doors. Keep asking them. Keep living this life and people will follow you. They'll follow you. Nobody following you? Pray again. Nobody following you? Pray again. Amen. got to keep praying. That's all they done. When they run up against an obstacle, they didn't know what to do with it. They prayed again. And God would move and give them what they need. You as young people, us as older ones, we've got to be challenged by the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for our services. But it starts at home on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon. You reading that Bible, praying, your challenge will come. I can assure you, if the Word of God is preached here on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night, taught Sunday morning, Sunday night, you'll be stirred, you'll be challenged, you'll be encouraged. It'll go along with what God's already been saying to you, because that's the way He works. Amen. Amen. The power of the resurrection. We don't serve a dead God. We're not a part of a dead religion, folks. Sometimes we act no different than these other dead religions, because hey, listen, there's more. We're held accountable for more than anybody else is. We have the truth. We know the truth of God's word. We know what God says. We know the right way to live. We're going to be held accountable for that. Hey, man, these folks out there bought into false doctrines and false religions, they're going to be in trouble. Don't worry about that. They're going to be in trouble. But they ain't going to be in near as much trouble as we are if we don't obey God. Obedience. We know what we're supposed to do. We know the way that we're to live. These people here, they're calling on God in desperation. And when they prayed, the Bible said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Oh, for God to shake the place again. But He ain't going to shake it. If He looks out here at us, we're all sitting with our arms crossed, texting on the phone, playing some video game, or wishing we was at home watching something else, ball game, or out at Taco Tico, or something like that. If you want to be there, get out of the house. You ain't getting what you need. But if you want something from God, get in these altars. The day of playing games is over. Those thieves, hey, those soldiers at the foot of Jesus, they gambled for His garment and went to hell. Some of you gambling right in the house of God. God, right in the house of God, you're gambling, you're rolling the dice, you're playing games, you're mocking, you don't take it serious. It's more serious than you are. It's more serious than your job. It's more serious than your relationship. It's more serious than the trouble of our world, folks, is paying attention to what God's got to say. Hey, man, He's talking to us tonight. He's talking to you tonight. We got to pay attention to what He's saying. Here the place was shaking. Why? God found somebody He could shake. God found somebody He could use. He never used anybody that turned a deaf ear to Him. I mean, you know, I know you got examples like Jonah stuff. Jonah could have kept going, folks. He didn't have to turn. He just gave up against God. See, because God will make it hard on you when you run the wrong way. Jonah didn't have to go back. He could have stayed in that belly, the belly of that whale, and been devoured down there and died, went to hell. But he finally gave up with his old stubbornness and called on God and repented and went and done what he was supposed to do the first time. But God's not going to use somebody that don't want to be used. He's not going to keep on knocking you down. Saying, I'm going to force you to preach my word. He's not going to do it. I'm going to force you to witness. He ain't going to do it. If you don't witness to your friends, they'll die and go to hell. But their blood will be on your hands. Their blood will be on your hands. You don't tell. I didn't anticipate being hardly this tough, all right? Just hang with me here, folks. I ain't mad at nobody. I love you, but I hate that devil. I hate the devil. He's a dragging men's souls to hell, and the church is watching while it happens. Oh, God. The church is watching it happen and not saying a word. God, help us. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Oh, for unity to be in the church. Amen. Here it is again now. Days later after the day of Pentecost, they're praying again. And in doing so, they're in one mind and one accord again. Oh, when the church comes together in unity and focuses on the Lord and opens themselves up to Him, there's no limit to what God can do. No limit to what God can do. Here they are. Oh, one mind. It says one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them
that all of the things which he possessed was his own. They wasn't sitting around saying, look at my house, look at my car, look at my fine suit. Oh, look at what I've done. Look how much I give. Look at how many places I've been. Oh, look at all the things I've been doing for the Lord. Oh, I'm better than you. No, they weren't thinking about none. They said, oh, I'm willing to give it all up, Lord. They're willing to do exactly what Jesus asked that rich young ruler to do. Oh, Jesus knew his heart. It wasn't about selling everything. Zacchaeus had plenty. He had as much as anybody. He had robbed, thieved, stole, saved, everything else. And when he got right with Jesus, he said, Lord, I'll give it all away. Jesus said, no, just make things right with who you done wrong. Pay them back fourfold. Everything else you're okay with. He didn't tell Zacchaeus, that ain't enough, son. Get rid of all of it. See, Zacchaeus the one said, Lord, I'll pay everybody I've wronged back four times more than I stole from them. And Jesus didn't look at him and say, that ain't enough. Sell it all and give it to the poor. You know what Zacchaeus should have done? He'd have sold it all and gave it to the poor. He didn't have to do that because Jesus knew his heart. But the rich young ruler come to him. Lord, what do I need to do to follow you? Jesus said, obey your father and mother. Keep them commandments. You know, do what's right. Have no other God before you. He said, hey, I've done all those things from my youth up. Jesus then, knowing his heart, that he had much riches and he's full of greed, whatever you want to call it. Jesus said, sell it all or give it all away. Give it to the poor. I don't know. He said, give it to the poor. Come follow me. And the boy went away sorrowfully because he had much riches, the Bible said. Went away sorrowfully. See, there was a spot in his life he wasn't willing to give up. You've got to be willing to give everything to the Lord. These people here we're talking about, they witnessed the place shaking, God moving, the Holy Ghost outpouring, and thousands being saved. Why? They didn't worry about what was theirs. They said, it's all his. If I've got it, he gave it to me. If he takes it, I ain't worried about it. I don't care about food and clothes and cars or chariots or horses or whatever. All I care about is living for Jesus. And when they put their focus and ambitions and desires on Jesus, nothing was impossible for them to do. Oh, with great power. Listen, here's what happens. It says here in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles. It didn't say Jesus gave them great power. We know that's where it comes from. But look at what happens with the power that's been given to them. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. How is this possible? Because when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God gave them what they needed for that hour that they was living in. That day. A lot of people say, oh, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I'm trying to plan 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, trying to plan 20 years down the road. I mean, that's okay. Have a plan. That's all right. But when it comes to the will of God, you take it day by day. You walk each day like you're supposed to. Let him guide your steps. He'll lead you, guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He will lead you down the right path. He'll keep your foot from slipping. He'll keep it from getting caught in the snare. Why? Because he knows where the devil set everything to trip you up, and he'll keep you on the straight and narrow to help you get where you need to go. Amen. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Jesus came to this world, men. He came because he loved people. He came because he loved mankind. Not just mankind, but he loved you. He loved the thief that was hanging next to him that rejected him. He loved the men that drove the nails in his hands. He loved the men that gambled for his garment. He loved the men that spit in his face. He loved those that wagged their heads and mocked him. He loved his mama. He loved his friends. He loved Peter that denied him and ran. He loved all of them then, and he loves every one of us today, from the worst to the best as far as men is concerned. Jesus loves us, and yet men despised him and rejected that love that he brought for the most part. A few believe, but most believe not. They rejected him. They cursed him. They hated him. Yet he loved them anyway and continued to do what he came here to do. Even the apostles struggled with things from time to time. Hey, listen to what the Bible says. You know, it seemed like different times they expected Jesus to do some material things for them. Isn't that the way we are? Amen. God gets to moving in a big way. And next thing you know, we're wanting to ask him about something material. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray about your house, your car, stuff like that, your job. I understand. But too many times, that's all of our motivation is about, is those things, what we can have. I'm broke, Lord, need more. Hey, I mean, I got beans and taters, but I'd rather have a little caviar. Amen. Oh, we want this. We want that, something a little nicer, a little fancier. That beat up jalopy I'm a driving, it's getting me there. I know you give it to me, but Lord, I want a Mercedes or something else. Not against that, I'd like to have one myself. I'm just telling you, when we get all bent out of shape over stuff, we miss the mark. The disciples, no wonder they had a hard time remembering everything he said, because all they was focused on was themselves too many times. Matthew 19:27 says, I'm going to condense this verse down for you. We have forsaken all. This is the disciples. Listen to this. We have forsaken all. What shall we have? Wow. We have forsaken all. What will we have? What shall we have? Yeah, what's in it for us? Mark 10:35 condensed down says this, Master, do whatsoever we desire. Master, do whatsoever we desire. They're preaching that today, folks. They're on the media preaching that all over the place. It don't work in Africa, oh, but they act like it does. They won't go over there and preach that message, but they're here preaching it on our streets, bleeding the widow for every mite they can get while they drive their fancy cars, lives in their big home, fly their airplanes, while they absolutely pull the wool over people's eyes. Oh, I'm going to tell you, same thing the disciples got caught up in. Master, do whatsoever we desire. Luke 24:21, here, hey, they expected him to redeem old Israel. All about, hey, they're all caught up in politics, worried about who's in charge and what's going to go on next. Amen. You can get bent out of shape over politics. You can worry over who they're going to put in or who's running against who. Meanwhile, if you stay focused on Jesus, he's the only one that can fix the mess we're in. Yeah, the nearer to the cross Jesus got, the fewer followers that was there. Why? They left him by the groves. Why'd they do that? They couldn't take the pressure. They couldn't take the message. Amen. They couldn't take the message. They didn't like the pressure it put them on under, the responsibility. There's a lot of us. We don't want no responsibility. I don't want to sing in that choir. I don't want to be responsible for having to be somewhere. So I don't want to play them drums. I don't want to play that bass. I don't want to teach Sunday school. I don't want to teach that little kid class. I don't want to be a part of that nursery. I don't want to be responsible. I just want to come when I want to, leave when I want to, and have to say nothing to nobody. I don't want to preach. I don't want to teach. I don't want to do. Hey, you can jump around all you want, but it's God you got to answer to. It's God you got to answer to. You can pull the wool over my eyes, but you won't fake him out, I can tell you. Amen. Amen. Final question. Last question they had to say to Jesus before he left out of here was not, oh God, how do we have more of you? How do you want us to preach? Where do you want to? No, didn't ask none of that. Last question on their mind, even after Jesus rose from the grave, was simply this. Wilt thou restore the Israel at this time? Still worried about their home state and the politics of the hour. Jesus told them, said, it ain't for you to know all those things. Quit worrying about that. You get to that upper room, you tarry there till you're endued with power. That's all you need to worry about. But what happens? They obey him. They finally, he got through their thick skulls. Amen. He finally got through to them. What does it take for God to get through to us? What does it take for him to get? Do you have to have a tragic accident in your family? Does somebody have to get so terminally ill that you'll finally pray? Do you have to lose your job, be out on the street before you'll call on his name? What is it going to take for you to pray? I'd rather voluntarily pray tonight while things are going well at home, while my body's in pretty good shape. I'd rather come to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I make myself available. What would you have me to do? People that get near to Jesus, that really love him, they ask that question. What will you have me to do? Yeah. And you know what? They're ready to obey. They're ready to obey. Here's what happens to these boys and girls. They gathered in. They began to pray. We know the story, Acts 2. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they came out of there with great power. The power of the resurrection on their mind. They gave witness to his resurrection. Gave witness to his life, in other words. Yeah, they were living, walking, talking examples of the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was no longer with them. He wasn't there. He wasn't walking the streets of Galilee now. He wasn't standing next to Peter to help him when he made a wreck of things. None of that's going on now. He's gone. He's at the right hand of the Father. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now they're the ones stepping out here, creating all kind of trouble. What's happening? They've got the resurrection power of Christ inside of them, and now they're walking, talking as different men and women of God. I submit to you tonight, the reason we're afraid, we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason the church is weak and struggling, it's not filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason we're having a problem witnessing to people, we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, I got filled 10 years ago. Oh, I got filled when I was just a boy. Oh, I got filled. You need to get filled again. We've got to be renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost. If we're not in this altar seeking to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, or if you've never received it and you have a lack of a desire, you better get in that altar and pray, because you are required to seek diligently for him. He said, tarry till you're endued. Tarry till, that's not a suggestion. Tarry till you're endued. Keep going back. Keep seeking. Keep. There's no shame in not being filled with the Holy Ghost. The shame is when you know you should be and you never even ask. Or when you ask, you don't mean it. And I know about that because I've been there. I remember I saved. I'd hear him preach like this, and I'd say, okay, I've got to ask. Now, in my heart, I knew and God knew I didn't want the Holy Ghost. I was scared of what might happen. Seeing some of them guys scoot on their back, seeing some of them act like a nut, you know, that scared me a little bit. So I wasn't interested in all that, but I knew I was supposed to, and I was scared enough of God. I didn't want to go to hell, so I'd come and I'd say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I didn't no more mean that than nothing, but I'd say it, and I'd go back and I'd sit down. Yeah, now I'd cry and pray over trouble. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what I'm going through, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, I need your help, Lord. I need a better job. And that girl broke up with me, and I ain't met Sister Wright yet. You know, Lord, I need to be occupied till she comes, or you come, or something like that. And I need a good relationship for now. Hey, all about me, blubbing around on that altar, but not one time being interested in what God really wanted in my life. He knew it, and I knew it too. Then nothing happening in your life. No wonder. No wonder. Here they are. They're down there. They're digging. They're praying. They're seeking the Lord. They're tarrying. They're waiting. Then the Bible says they're filled. And look at Acts chapter 3. What happens? Here they come. The Bible said Peter and John going up to church at the hour of prayer. You know what that said? And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. We read that. Don't think much about it. Them's the boys that were just hiding behind the door, trembling and shaking, fearing for their lives, scared to death somebody would find out they were a friend of Jesus. And now, they ain't hiding behind the door no more. They ain't cringing, hiding down there saying, oh God, anybody out there? Acting like me over that dog bite deal, you know. I got bit one time by a Great Dane. We moved to another place. I thank God I got away from that big one that bit me. Moved to another place. We wasn't there but a year or two. Neighbors moved in next door with a great big black one, bigger and rougher and meaner looking than the one that bit me, and his name was Satan. I mean, one of them big Great Danes that's black and white and speckled all over bit me. 20-something stitches, one place here, 18-something in my back. At the time, it was here and over on the other side. I've grew a little since then. Oh, scared. I was terrified of dogs, especially big ones. Now I move over, and I'm thinking, I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I can get out. I'm a yard player. I'm a yard, yard ape. I was a yard ape, man. I lived in the yard, climbing trees, all out there playing, having a big time. Now I hear the awfulest noise out there. I built me a big snowman. Big as I was, I wasn't big, but all of a sudden, I'm looking out there, and here comes this big black dog through the snow, which made it worse, you know. White snow, big black dog. He's running, jumps in the air, and attacks my snowman and fights it all the way to the ground and destroyed it right there. I'm standing there. Oh, my God, Jesus. What am I going to do? I'll never go outside again. Never. Then the neighbor tells my mama, yeah, he won't hurt nobody. His name's Satan.
Satan.
Satan's moved in next door. Here's what I'd have to do. The bus pulled up. Our driveway was probably about 80 foot out, so it's every bit from it's probably farther than the back doors. I'd stand at the door. I'd tell Mama, "Mama, you look out the other window. Tell me if that dog's out there. When the bus comes to a complete stop, you tell me, Mama, and then I'm going to run." So I'd watch out the one side of the house. She'd watch the other, and then she'd say, "The bus has stopped, Jeff." I'd come through the house, jump off the porch, run with all my might out to the jump on the bus. Then I had to do it when I come in that evening. Same as scared. We do that. We'll plunder around and we'll do that. Worried about what somebody's thinking. Worried about what they're going to say. Worried about them seeing us involved in church or involved in impact or involved in revival or going to church or doing something. Worried. We've got to quit worrying about what the people think and worry about what God thinks. Here's what they've done. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Bold as lions, they came out. That power of the resurrection in that upper room being filled with the Holy Ghost changed their lives. Folks, that's what we need. Look at them. Look at the change that takes place. Acts 5:32, it talks about them. They were not ashamed. Bible says, we are witnesses. They were telling that to their persecutors. We're witnesses. They're not afraid now. They're bold. They're speaking his word with boldness, just like he gave them power to do. Acts chapter 5, later on there, verse 41 said, they rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer a shame for his sake. Then we see them later on there as well. It says that prison bars could not hold them. You know, showed us there. The prison bars couldn't hold them, couldn't stop them from doing the work and the will of God. Why? They were bold and willing to be a witness no matter what it cost them. The lack of money didn't stop them. No. The lack of money did not discourage them. Acts chapter 4 talks about it. Silver and gold have none, but what I've got, I'm going to give you. Amen. They had enough to change the world, folks. Without a nickel in their pocket, they were world-changing men and women. Oh, God can do the same thing for us in this economical downtime of the United States. He's still able to fill us with enough. We can say, hey, I ain't got silver and gold, but I can give you what no doctor can give you. I can take you places with Jesus you've never been before. Amen. All we got to do is introduce some folks. There's no limit to what God can do. Threats and beatings didn't scare them anymore. Oh, they're not afraid. Murder and persecution only scattered them to take the gospel other places. It never stopped them or shut them up. The Gentile world would soon be absolutely penetrated with the gospel because of men and women that were no longer ashamed or unwilling to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. The gospel invaded. Caesar's own house showed up there. Paul walking through his aisles, down his hallways there to preach the word to that bunch. Amen. God can get in where nobody else can, folks. If he can only get a vessel he can use. They shook the foundations of Rome in Acts 17. In Acts 24, a Roman ruler was made to tremble at the witnessing of Paul. In Acts 26, it tells of King Agrippa. He said, almost you persuade me. There's no limit to what God can do. Am I putting you to sleep? There's no limit to what God can do if you can just find somebody to do it through. But you got to give up on your own ideas and sell out to him tonight. Great grace was upon them all. That's what it said. Not great academic achievements, not great abilities and skills among men, not great abilities of preaching and speaking with eloquent speech and wooing the crowd with our fancy words, no, but great grace, which gave them great sensitivity to God's grace and great faith in the living Savior and great belief that souls were lost. I think sometimes we forget that the people we rub shoulders with every day are going to hell. We forget that. If we're not careful, our neighbors, our co-workers, our schoolmates, people we know, friends we run with, lost and undone and going into eternity forever. Oh God, help us. Amen. They had great belief that souls were lost and great belief in Christ and his second coming, that he was and is the answer to it all. I leave you with one final question. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What a statement.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then, being risen with Christ, if you've been risen with him, seek those things which are above. Oh, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was more than just rolling away a stone, folks. It was more than just causing a few guards to fall down slain or slayed, fall out there not knowing what's going on, paralyzed. And more than that, it was more than just a story to tell. It was what brought about the power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ then brought the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that absolutely every one of us needs to have in our lives. Today is a day of great opportunity, but it's only an opportunity for those that are seeking that opportunity. If you're not seeking, you won't find. If you're not knocking, it won't be opened. If you're not asking, it'll not be given. He trusted you with that, not to ask for material things and popularity and wealth, but that you would seek him and ask him that you could be the man and woman of God he's called you to be. Among us stands here men and women that have the ability through Jesus Christ to sway multitudes, to woo thousands to come to Christ. Amen. There are people here among us that God has given you the ability to sing, not to make money, to touch the hearts of souls of people as we work together for Christ. The songs we sing here, the messages that are to be preached here, the work that is to be done, the mission outreach that is to go, are all products of what we are to be, that we can absolutely turn the light on in Berea, Kentucky, to be the city set on a hill to not be hid, that all of Berea, including the college where so many there bound by homosexuality and perversion, can see the true light of Jesus Christ. Not that we can hit the road and draw attention to ourselves, but that we can draw men and women to Christ. You, God have called some of you to be the most powerful teachers and given you the ability to take the Word of God and make it so simply said that the simplest minded person can understand the deepest things of God. There is no limit to what can be done in this group tonight. Look not at the number, my friend. Look at Jesus. Because there is nothing impossible for him. So many times we say, they said of the 12, these are men that have turned the world upside down. It wasn't the 12. There was only a couple, maybe three, that walked into that town. And they weren't all the disciples either. They had become disciples later. Followers of Christ. Paul being a part of that. There's no limit to what we can do in Jesus Christ tonight. And if you are choosing some other route, some other plan, then you are a miserable person tonight. You're miserable. You're miserable. How can you know Jesus? How can you know what it has been to feel his touch, his anointing, his wooing power in your life, and then settle for something less? You're miserable tonight. Quit listening to the devil. He's lying to you. Come back to Jesus. All of us, let us gather. Let us seek the face of the Lord tonight. He's talked to us. He's talked to me. I've got to pray. I hope you'll join me. Altars are open. Let's come. Let's seek the face of the Lord this evening.
To be my humbly as feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power.